Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board and join us as we face the issues. Have some issues that we need to face today that I believe have been overlooked in the scheme of things in relationship to the shutdown of our churches and in the relationship to seeing the socialist Marxist BLM Democrats and their control of the streets and the cities across America, where we see our constitutional liberties being undermined, destroyed before our face. So may I remind us, as we face the issues today, we're going to be dealing with spiritual warfare. Subtitle, if you will, Why America is Declining. Spiritual warfare, why America is declining. I pray that you'll stay tuned, that you'll call, tell others to join in the broadcast, join in the opportunity to have dialogue and discussion. That telephone number, if you want to have dialogue and discussion, want to ask a question, we're going to be asking you some questions today. For example, is your church still closed? Why is it closed? What has the pastor said? What are you doing in relationship to worship while your church is closed? Are you seeking another church? What are you doing in relationship to Bible study? When you study the Bible, when you read the Bible, do you believe what God says? It's shocking to see some of the survey response and the respondents in relationship to the Barna Report and the New Lifeway survey in relationship to churches and spirituality and church membership during the course of the COVID-19 in particular. So as we face these issues, let me remind you, telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Don't you dare turn your dial. Stay tuned and call in. Love to hear from you. Want to have the answer to some of those questions we've just suggested that will be during the course of this broadcast today. We're looking forward to having your dialogue and discussion on it. And as we face the issues, let me once again remind you that it's not a matter of, if I can use the term willy-nilly responses, I don't know where that came from, if it's even legitimate words in the English language. But nevertheless, we don't give an answer and face the issues based on just some dialogue that someone might have with a politician or with some liberal denominational leader. It's not based on dogma or denomination. Our discussion as we face the issues is focused on the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth of God's word that should direct our footsteps and be a light unto our pathway each day. It was the Lord Jesus Christ himself that said, in John 8:31-32, he's speaking to his disciples, he said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, ladies and gentlemen, the freedom that we seek in life today should be through none other than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Jesus Christ is truth. Someone says, how do you know that? Because the Bible says so with Jesus speaking. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And then Jesus says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, truth is found in the source book called the Bible. From Genesis 1:1 to the book of the Revelation, we have what I call a very thick Bible. Over a period of about 1,500 years with 40 different authors, we have the 66 books joined together called the Bible. It is the book of truth, the source of truth. So may I commend it to you. There are a lot of folks today that are not seeking truth, that in fact rebel against truth. There was just a little sparring in the Senate with Senator Cruz and another senator as they were sparring about the authenticity of Antifa and BLM, Black Lives Matter, which is a socialist, Marxist, anti-American, anti-constitutional organization out to destroy America. But there was some sparring over that. Cruz was talking about the truth of who those organizations are. And this female senator that was in his face and challenging him about that happened to side with Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that truth is not sought for in society today. This is the reason I hammer on the fact that we need to face and seek truth in our lives, especially as Christians. It was George Orwell many years ago that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We need to recognize that truth is rejected today on just about every hand. And may I be bold enough to say on every hand, whether it's political, social, economical, or spiritual, truth is not sought for. We're going to talk about that fact during the course of this broadcast today when we get into the nitty-gritty, as I call it, of some of the findings of the George Barna report, the latest report, and the one that is put out by Lifeway surveying Christianity in the stand of people that say they are practicing Christians. George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that today, ladies and gentlemen, on every hand. But one of the greatest statements, I believe, in relationship to truth is by Jan Hus. Jan Hus is the 15th century theologian and church reformer. Made this statement, faithful Christian, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. May I commend that to you today, ladies and gentlemen. As Christians in particular, we need to seek the truth and listen to the truth. That means we can't listen to CNN, MSNBC, and the Communist Network news stations that are promulgating lies and falsities. We need to follow the truth. That doesn't mean either that Fox News always tells the truth. I found some occasions of recent that I want to throw a hammer at my television set when I watch some of their diatribe that is absolutely simply designed to curry the favor of the left. But we need to listen to the truth and learn the truth and love the truth, tell the truth, live it, and defend the truth, ladies and gentlemen, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators and a knowledgeable team, ladies and gentlemen. They can answer all of your questions about landscape power equipment as well as power backup equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. 11291 Old San Augustine Road is located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road, right at the place where Old Glory flies 165 feet above ground level. It is the gigantic flagpole where the United States flag flows 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as I made mention a moment ago, and I want to get into our monologue and get to the meat of the subject and allow you to call in and ask questions and have dialogue and discussion in relationship to the very serious subject matter today. But ladies and gentlemen, in America, whether you recognize it or not, whether you want to admit it or not, we are in a full frontal battle. We're in a battle today. It's a battle for the soul of America. It's a battle for the soul of the church. It's a battle, ladies and gentlemen, that is a spiritual battle. And we see this battle taking place on the streets across our great nation today. We see it with the BLM, Black Lives Matter. By the way, has nothing to do with skin pigmentation whatsoever. Black Lives Matter is formed by three socialist, Marxist, communist women, black women, formed in 2013. And Black Lives Matter happens to be an anti-American organization. In fact, I was intrigued today and encouraged today when at 6:30, 7 o'clock this morning on Fox and Friends Fox News broadcast, they interviewed President Trump for about 56 minutes. And President Trump, referring to Black Lives Matter, called it an anarchist terrorist organization. And it's the first time I've heard him do that. He said that about Antifa, and he's correct. But I'm thankful that we're seeing from the highest office in the nation the recognition that Black Lives Matter is a thuggery organization. It's a communist Marxist organization. The three women that started it brag on the fact that they are highly trained Marxists. And the game and the goal, by the way, we'll call them Marxists. It's simply put, they're a communist organization that's interwoven into the fabric of America. Recently, I read an article that said two-thirds of Americans side with Black Lives Matter. Two-thirds side with Black Lives Matter. No wonder, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the battle rage across America in our streets, in our great nation today. It is the Marxist agenda to destroy our nation's constitutional republic. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. In case you've not listened to this broadcast before, in case you're wondering why a pastor, theologian, one that loves the Lord and loves the Word of God would stand against Black Lives Matter and Antifa and these other organizations that are out to tear down and destroy the constitutionality of the United States of America, it's because if our Constitution fails and falls, if it is eviscerated, it destroys our freedom of worship, freedom of speech, the right to keep and bear arms. It destroys everything that we find that makes America great and makes America free and gives us the God-given liberties that America is so blessed to have today. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, spiritual warfare. It's seen in the streets of America where BLM, Black Lives Matter, and Antifa are raging as never before. They see it as hand-to-hand combat. They see it as the, if you please, a final attempt, a final opportunity. At the weakest point before an election, they find it an opportunity to what they see, an open door, because they're operating hand in glove with the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party that also would like to see, if necessary, they'd like to see America fail and fall and be destroyed as a constitutional republic if it means they can gain control and dominance in Washington to be the dictator controllers of the House and the Senate and the executive branch called the presidential office. That's where we're going. That's the goal. And that is the warfare that we see taking place. And this is the reason we see, ladies and gentlemen, morally, ethically, and spiritually, biblically, the fundamental failing and the falling and the apostatizing in the realm of Christianity. We see the battle raging in the thugs that's killing and destroying lives and freedom through Antifa. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Antifa and Black Lives Matter just had a Bible burning in Portland, Oregon. This article says, protesters burn Bibles in Portland, rip protective boarding off of buildings' walls. Left-wing activists rooted in Portland on Friday night, where they burned Bibles, set fire in the streets, and tore protective boarding off the sides of buildings. Let me pause there, ladies and gentlemen. Why would Black Lives Matter and Antifa, why would they be so adamantly opposed to the Word of God? We're seeing a spiritual battle. It's a battle against God, between God and Satan. It's a battle against between good and evil. It's a battle against Christ and the Christless society in which we're living. It's a battle against between Satan and the Savior. And we're watching it played out in the streets today, ladies and gentlemen, with these thugs with titles like Black Lives Matter and Antifa. This article says on Friday night, rioters burned American flags and Bibles in the street outside the Federal Mark O. Hatfield Courthouse in Portland. Numerous journalists were on the ground, said that the left-wing activists were trying to provoke a response from the federal agents inside. Quote, agitators trying to provoke a response from the federal officers violently battering the doors, and they were kicked as they kicked and used all kinds of shields as a battering ram. Rioters at gatherings in Portland were tearing off a barricade as of an arcade nearby federal courthouse. Portland police are aware, but will let them continue because they're given directives, listen, to leave rioters alone in most circumstances. Black blocs, militants in downtown Portland are trying to break into businesses near the federal courthouse, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching anarchists take place, standing up in America. Anarchists and thieves and thugs that are burning and destroying and pillaging and taking lives. It is simply anarchy run wild. And President Trump, just as late as this morning, talked about the fact that had he not gone in with the federal agents into Portland, the courthouse there would have already been destroyed, either demolished or burned as a result of the thugs. Ladies and gentlemen, when in your lifetime have you seen that? When have you we seen this as an American front, as an American societal issue on a national level? Not in my lifetime. You can do a throwback to the 60s if you like, and I lived through that, and I recall that very well. It was not anything like we're seeing today in relationship to the attempt to overthrow the American Constitutional Republic. And that's what we see, ladies and gentlemen, that's taking place in America today. And this battle for the soul of America is a moral, ethical, spiritual battle. It is spiritual warfare at the very greatest sense of it. In fact, the Bible is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, where it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Ephesians 6:12. That's exactly where we are today. We're witnessing the spiritual battle. It is a Marxist, demonic, democratic party controlled and led battle, because the Democrats today, ladies and gentlemen, embrace this communist group, these communist groups that are out to destroy our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Are you concerned about this battle? Do you view it as a spiritual battle? If so, if it's a spiritual battle, what's the spiritual answer? How should we then live, as Francis Schaeffer said so many years ago? What ought to be our response in face of that? Should Christians be silent? Should churches be closed? Should pastors remain silent, hidden under the bed and in the closets? Should churches continue to be closed is the basic question that I want us to answer during the course of this broadcast today. It's a demonic, anti-God, anti-freedom, anti-country, anti-Bible battle that's taking place. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the spiritual battle is vividly seen in the open Marxist-Communist battle to close, to tear down, to destroy the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Why do you think in Black Lives Matter now, not only trying to, and Antifa trying to tear down regular monuments and statues that are the historical markers for our history, and by the way, several of the universities and colleges, several of the schools across America today have already decided that, quote, we will no longer teach history. They've determined that it is not befitting for an academic institution to teach students anything about history. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on the banana peel and on the high side of the mountain on that banana peel for the destruction and the absolute demoralization and the implosion of the United States of America as we know it today. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the telephone number is 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Love to know your opinion. Where do you stand on issues that we're talking about today? In particular, the fact that the end goal from the communist goal, from the Marxist agenda, is to dethrone God. You can look at the six major points of Marxism, and you'll discover that it is to divide, it is to destroy any race relationship, it is to divide based on the racial lines, to bring in racism as a division and a divisiveness among humanity. Part of their goal is to also remove anything that's called police power or law enforcement or anything that was called the rule of law. And the final thing that you find on their agenda as you study Marxism and their goal today is to dethrone God, to dethrone God. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching that take place in America because they're not only tearing down normal, we'd call them historical monuments, but they're defacing churches. They're destroying churches. One drove his car into the entrance, the rotunda of a church, and poured out a flammable liquid and set fire to it while the church was in session, while worship was taking place. They have destroyed statues of Jesus. They've destroyed other religious statues in the front of churches and on church grounds, et cetera, et cetera. It's a battle that has been subtle up until now, but it's open and in your face as a battle against God. It is a spiritual battle. We're in the hand-to-hand combat and a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle. And ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, today across America, thousands of churches remain closed. Now, if churches are essential, and I contend that they are, If the gospel of Jesus Christ is necessary, and I contend that it is, if the gospel is to be preached from the pulpits across America, and I contend that is essential in our nation today, as in no other time and no other history, it's needful and necessary. If that's true, why are so many churches remaining closed? That's the pivotal question that I want us to answer today. Why are so many churches remain closed? Is your church closed? What has your pastor said? How do you receive worship? How are you? I'm not talking about how do you just listen to a message. How are you worshiping? How are you having friendship, fellowship, camaraderie with other believers? Where's the individual Bible studies taking place with groups that will be held in churches through what's called the Sunday School Bible Study Hour? How are you accomplishing that? What are you doing in relationship to the nurture and the admonition of others in your family through sitting together in a worship service? How are you faring in that? Are you satisfied with where you are? Are you satisfied with the churches remaining closed? Why are they remaining closed is my indelible question that I would like to have you to answer today. Joel Osteen, for example, said they're going to continue to stay closed an unknown period of time. Andy Stanley has said they're going to remain closed until January of 2020. I reckon by then, the election's over and COVID-19 does not reside in churches anymore by January of 2021. Multitudes of pastors and people are hiding behind the cloak of obeying government. You ever heard pastors say that, a Christian say that? Well, you know, I believe God gives us the government. As a result of that, we ought to obey the government. The law says so. We ought to keep our churches closed. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to show me, point your finger to one law. One law. In America, gives the governors or the mayors the authority to shut your church. Show me one statute, one bill that's been passed, signed into law as a law, not an arbitrary, capricious, unconstitutional, illegal, unenforceable edict from a mayor or a governor's pen. I'm not talking about those. Those are not constitutional laws. Show me one law where it gives the mayors and the governors, the wannabe dictators, and blue states and blue cities, that is the left-wing side of the Democratic Party, the socialist, Marxist, communist element in the Democratic Party. Show me one of those states or governors where that is based on a law. Ladies and gentlemen, one internationally known pastor, one pastor that's heard around the globe, one pastor that his name is kitchen recognized, if you will, just about every household. Governor Newsom has challenged the churches to remain closed in California. Some 30 to 32 counties make up about 80% of the churches in California are forced by Governor Newsom to remain closed. One pastor that had remained kept his church closed for 8 weeks. He decided that when they said 2 weeks, 15 days, the number was to remain closed. They did. And after 2 weeks, it was extended. They remained closed for 8 weeks, 2 months. And they decided we're not going to stay closed anymore. Dr. John MacArthur's church, Grace Community Church, said we're not going to remain closed anymore. So they've opened the doors. Governor Newsom has now said that they're going to fine the pastor $1,000 a day. $1,000 a day. As long as they remain closed or open. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, Dr. MacArthur explains why he didn't defy state orders during the first shutdown. And literally put, if I can summarize the article for the brevity of time, he simply said that we wanted to do what was right. We wanted to protect our citizens. After all, we'd been told 2.2 million people are going to die lest we shut everything down. So he shut the church down and thought it would just be 2 weeks. Then it was 4 weeks. Then it was 6 weeks. And after 2+ months, he determined no longer we're going to obey Caesar, we're going to obey Christ, and we're going to open our churches, and he's doing so. And ladies and gentlemen, I openly commend him for that. Now let me, and I must do this, I must throw in the caveat. Dr. MacArthur and I see majorly different biblical vantage points on some of the doctrines that he teaches. I'm not saying he's a bad man, but I'm saying we just happen to disagree. So when I commend him for what he's doing, don't you take that for a carte blanche commendation and commending him for everything that's taught from the standpoint of theology and doctrine. And for your edification and understanding, he is a hyper-Calvinist. He believes that God has already predetermined who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. And I simply do not find that in my Bible. My Bible says whosoever will may come. It's a volitional, willful choice to say yes to Christ. And then I disagree on that. But I commend him for his stand on the fact that he needs to keep his church open, even in the face of what is now being threatened of a $1,000 a day fine. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I'm calling from up here in Brunswick. My name is Matt, and I wore a uniform for 16-plus years in the United States Air Force, fighting everything that you're trying to enlighten people on this communist Marxist agenda that we're up against. And my level of frustration, along with probably a lot of us, has gotten to the point where I'm just curious as to what you think our next step should be, other than what's coming up in November. Somebody has got to take the bull by the horns and fight two different fronts that we're up against, one politically speaking here in November, and then the other one morally. And I just don't understand why we haven't gotten to a point where we're the people on our side of the fence, with the conservatives, haven't taken a more aggressive approach. And I was wondering what you think we should be doing right now, other than our duty and voting in this upcoming election.
Brother, hang on there and let me answer your question, then we can have dialogue and discussion further on that if you like. Number one, if we'll recall back in 2016, 31 million Christians sat in their easy chairs and did not go out and vote. 31 million. And therefore, if we do the same thing on November the 3rd of 2020, we will watch a socialist, Marxist individual go into the office, Joe Biden, if he can come out of his basement long enough to go into the Oval Office. If we sit in our easy chairs as we did as Christians in 2016, we will watch America's fundamental foundational documents eviscerated, destroyed, our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, our freedom of press, which we have no freedom of press today anyway. That freedom has gone totally down the tube with Marxism and communism in America. But we'll watch everything that the child of God and that the Christian and the patriot hold so near and dear. We must stand up and vote. We must say enough is enough. And secondly, as Christians and as pastors in particular, I've said for months and months and months now on this daily broadcast, pastors need to grow a spine. It's time that pastors get out of the closet, come out from under the bed, and preach the whole truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For too long, churches and denominations, in fact, every mainline denomination in America today has gone rancorously liberal, and they stand for the sodomite agenda, the LGBTQ marriages. They stand for the rampant murder by way of abortion. They stand with the world on those issues. We need to reject Marxism and the BLM group, as it is called. We need to reject the drug culture and stop embracing the social justice agenda that we see promoted by Beth Moore and multitudes of others like her and whole denominations. How does that sound for an answer to your question?
Well, that helps a bunch. I'm just at a tipping point, and I think we all should be at that tipping point, like you said, and everybody needs to crawl out from under the bed and take the bull by the horns, because I refuse to think that we are the minority and that we're catering to a minority that's destroying us the way it is.
Unfortunately, I think we're the silent majority, and because so many Christians are fearful of being made fun of or ridiculed, or patriots, conservatives are fearful of being ridiculed and made fun of, or their properties destroyed, or their homes vandalized because of a Trump sign, etc. I believe we will see a massive number of those like you and like me and others stand up on November the 3rd and our voices be heard. That's my prayer. That's my hope. Our time is up for this segment of the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.